This sermon was preached by Pastor Naphtali Ogalo at Grace Baptist Church, Eldoret, Kenya, on the Lord's Day, 6th December 2020, during the COVID-19 pandemic restrictions. We welcome you to join with us if you are in Eldoret. Worship with us at Grace Baptist Church. We are located within West Indies Estate on Cargo Street behind Cogo Flats, Eldoret. I bring God's word this morning by way of introduction. It has been said that in Africa, the safest place to hide something of value, like money, is in the Bible. Now, why is that? Is it because the Bible is so holy that the devil will not penetrate, or that a thief will not be able to manage to break in? Of course not. In fact, it is said so because very few people bother to look into the Bible or reach out and pick a Bible and read it so you can hide something precious in it and you're sure to find it there many days later. Now, if that's true, that is very sad. Of course, there are a few who treasure God's word. It is their chief delight. What about you? Are you a person who something of treasure like money can be hidden in your very house, in the Bible, and it will be there for a long time? Well, there are precious things that need to be found and used. This morning, I want to bring God's word from the book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. Matthew 13, verses 10 to 17. And today, of course, I want us to look at the purpose of parables. The purpose of parables. Let me read these verses for us from verse 10. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not, even what he has will be taken away." Now, this is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, "You will indeed hear, but never understand. And you will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears, they can barely hear, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. That's the end of the reading. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your word. This is a great treasure. It's something hidden. And unless you reveal it to us, Lord, it will remain hidden. Oh, we pray. And now, as with our Bibles open, help us then to understand these words of life. Speak, speak, Lord, and bring these truths to bear in our very hearts, that good will come. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, our Lord Jesus had all along been proclaiming great truths, you know, to all his hearers. He has been teaching them great doctrines and wonderful themes, various important issues. But now he makes a vital change that his disciples not only noticed, but inquired. You see, he introduces the parables. The parables. Remember what I said about parables, that they are earthly stories with deep heavenly meanings. Earthly stories, but with deep heavenly meanings. You see, there in verse 10, we have just read that the disciples came and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Now, this question is not demonstrating some utter ignorance of the part of the disciples. No, I think if we think that about them, we are wrong. They seem to see something deep, something that requires unraveling, something that requires an explanation. They see, there's a reason they detect with Jesus, or within Jesus' teaching, and they say, "Master, tell us, why do you speak to them in parables?" Well, I want us to see then the purpose of parables. Remember, last Lord's Day we saw the parable of the sower. And please remember we saw three different kinds of soils that fail to bear fruit, fail to bring good to the hearer. And then finally we sow the good soil. But now, let's, as it were, stand back and ask with the disciples the purpose of parables. I have two main things to bring to us, and each then is divided or has three small points underneath them. The first thing I want us to see is that parables reveal secrets. And then in the second place, we will see that parables present the gospel. So the first thing is that parables reveal secrets. Well, what do we mean? There are three things that we need to see to direct us in the use of parables. If they are revealing secrets, how does that happen? How does that work out? Okay? Three points under that to help us. So, number one is that parables are vehicles. They are vehicles. They are like a car. A vehicle that brings God's special revelation. Parables are vehicles bringing God's special revelation. You see, look at verse 11. This is what we read. To you, it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, it has not been given. So we note the focus of that verse, that it is the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. The word translated secret actually is a Greek. Allow me to give you a bit of a Greek this morning, but this word translated secret is the Greek word mysteria, mysteria, but which simply is the English word mysterious, mysterious. Now, often people think mystery as something beyond explanation, something beyond unraveling. You see, some kind of a killer mystery which remains unsolved. But not so with biblical mysteries. Biblical mysteries are a part of God's secret will that we cannot know until He reveals it to us. Now, these are hidden unless and until revealed or unveiled. So, biblical mysteries are spiritual truths which require opening up so that we understand them spiritually. You see, the Apostle Paul asks prayers from the Ephesian Christians in chapter 6, verse 19 of Ephesians, and the Apostle is pleading with them, come on, Ephesians, pray for me. Why? That words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. Okay, now, the mystery of the gospel really, therefore, is that we only know the gospel of Christ because God has directly revealed it in His Word through His Son, the mystery of the gospel, what God has directly revealed in His Word by His Son. You see, these mysteries or these secrets concern the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, mainly used so in the book of Matthew. The kingdom has come in the person of Jesus Christ Himself. You see, the kingdom of faith in the Savior, the Lord Jesus, it's a kingdom which is heavenly in nature, not earthly. Now, many have mistaken and they are preaching some gospel that is not a biblical gospel, and instead of directing people to think spiritually and heavenly, preparing them for the heavenly life, they honestly make people think that heaven is here on earth. Live your best life now. As Joel Austin would tell people, but that is not biblical. We are preparing. Indeed, of course, we are living our Christian life now, but we are preparing for heaven. So, Jesus therefore speaks in parables to make known what would otherwise remain unknown. So therefore his parables are teachings of the secret of the kingdom of heaven. If he never revealed them, then no one would know them. No one would know about the kingdom of God. Someone has said, and I quote, "The parables are vehicles of free grace, bringing light to darkened souls." So they are vehicles of free grace and they bring light to darkened souls. Of course, that means therefore when light has come, then the souls are made light. So that was then the first point I want us to see. Remember, we are trying to understand that parables reveal secrets. And so, in their revealing of secrets, they are a vehicle. Number one, we are seeing they are a vehicle bringing God's special revelation. Number two, they, that is parables, bring revealed mysteries to particular people. They are not only a vehicle bringing God's special revelation, but actually they are bringing revealed mysteries, and this is the point, to particular people. You look at verse 11 again, and you see repeated word, you know, that given, the word given is repeated there, or in other versions, it is granted. So given or granted or revealed to. You see, Jesus refers to his immediate disciples and not to the whole crowd. Because in that verse he says, to you it is given, not to them. And so he makes a distinction. So we are learning that God's good grace comes to particular individuals and not to others. Did you see that? It comes to particular individuals and not to others. Verse 11 is right before us there. In other words, the parables are teachings which God uses to make a difference. He distinguishes one from another. And that from eternity. This, my friends, is setting before us, though the word is not used, but honestly is showing us here the sovereign election of God. So that the same message that brings saving grace to some is the same message that remains a mystery to the others. Yes, you see, we can use the example, the illustration that 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15 and verse 16. What do we read? This is what it says. For we are the aroma, that is the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Listen to this now. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? You see, Paul is telling us that a preacher of God's word, a sower of the seed, as we saw last week, is one who, by the words that he preaches, as he utters words out of his mouth, that same word brings a blessing of salvation to someone. But honestly, that same word turns to be the word that condemns another person. You see, friends, we are learning that it is not enough just to hear the truth of God's word. Really, God the Holy Spirit must work to create life to a spiritually dead soul. It is God who makes the difference. Now, that's something that we cannot avoid. We cannot escape it. So parables bring revealed mysteries to particular people. But let's move on. In the third place, that parables are mysteries revealed for faithful response. Parables are mysteries revealed for faithful response. Now we are going to explain what that is. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, "For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." You see, after seeing that parables are both vehicles for special revelation and vehicles bringing such special revelation to particular people, we now see that these particular people have a responsibility. That's the point we are to see now. They have a responsibility. In other words, when people hear God's word, they can't remain the same. No one hears God's word and remains the same. Let me give you an illustration here, or some illustrations here to help us. Now, you see, at our church we have a night soldier who takes care of our premises. And this soldier tells me he's an athlete and he's especially practicing a lot for long races. But he tells me that he has to keep practicing and do a lot of running and exercises. Otherwise, he loses the momentum. So he's constantly practicing, literally every day. Otherwise, he will lose it. He's got a responsibility and he keeps up. But then just another simple illustration. Think of a brilliant student. But such a student has to keep studying. Otherwise, he will forget much, you know, and suffer during exams. He just have to keep studying hard and revise and go over various notes. Otherwise, he'll suffer. Well, I will give you my own personal simple illustration. Once I knew how to and played flute. The flute that we play, you know, and produce music. I used to play. And especially I played it for my children when they were very young. And I played when I was helping them to sleep. So I would play my flute till they sleep. But years have gone by without playing and I have lost the art. I need to be taught all over again. You see, someone has said, keep the pressure on or you lose the whole thing. And honestly, that indeed is the case. You keep the pressure or you lose the whole thing. Let me give you another illustration. Surely you can't miss this. It is this. If you fail to keep up with good routine of life, even through COVID-19 pandemic, making a comeback is very hard or even impossible. Very hard. You know, there are some things that we used to do earlier. And honestly, I'm thinking of religious things like even coming to church or faithful reading of scripture, even in the family devotion. You know, when COVID-19 struck in middle of March in Kenya here, a lot of things were disrupted. Family set up and jobs and things like that. But you know, if you did not keep routine, even if it's reading the scriptures, for about 19 Sundays, church doors were shut. And even when the doors were open, not many people came back. Of course, I know people needed to take great care and precaution. But people only began to come slowly by slowly later. I tell you, to this day, there are some who have failed to return to church. Because then it is a momentum they lost. Making a comeback is very hard or even impossible. So why have I given you all those illustrations? Well, it's just this. You see, there in verse 12, we see this. For to the one who has, in other words, the one who knows the Lord and longs for more of his grace, more will be given. And he will have an abundance. And you know, that actually is showing us basically what a true believer is like. A true believer will, of necessity, grow and increase in grace. But if that does not happen, you have every reason to ask, is the root of matter really in you? There must be steady growth. There must be an increase of grace. The momentum must be kept. If an athlete has to do it, if a student has to do it, if someone who learns or knew how to play flute has to do it or they lose it, what about Christianity? Surely. But our verse goes on to tell us, verse 12, but those who do not have, in other words, those who are devoid of God's grace. Those who do not have genuine spiritual interest. They actually are like the one talent man of Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25 verse 24. The man who had one talent. He ended up losing even the only one he had. You see, it is such a person, and the one talent person said, I can do without my master. He cannot just make demands of me. He's a hard man. I'll just hide his talent. And of course, that one talent he had was eventually taken from him, and so he remained without. And honestly, dear friend, to live as though you do not need God, then God will say, okay, then live without me. No, we can't. And yet, sadly, people live as though there is no God. And so really, the point then we've been seeing is that parables are mysteries revealed for faithful response. Does your life demonstrate faithful response for what you have received from God? So, as I mentioned, our two points today. The first one was that parables reveal secrets. And we have seen three little points underneath. But now, the second point, that parables present the gospel. Parables present the gospel. You see, we notice this now from verses 13 to 17. And as we look at these remaining verses, we will notice something to do with the past, present, and future purposes of the gospel, the parables as they present the gospel. There is something to do with the past, something to do with the present, and something to do with the future. So, number one, something to do with the past. And it is this, that parables fulfilled prophecy. Parables fulfilled prophecy. You see, Jesus shows from Isaiah chapter 6, and particularly verses 9 and 10, Isaiah chapter 6, Jesus shows that those who refuse to hear and believe the message of the kingdom, their refusing is not a surprise actually, but they behave as was prophesied. They behave as was prophesied. Look at verse 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 13. This is why I spoke to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. The Lord Jesus is simply putting it this way. I spoke to them in parable to expose their hardness of heart. Yes. You see, the failure of unbelievers to receive the message of the kingdom and to be saved is never the lack of clarity on the part of the message. No. Instead, it is the mistake, it is the failure of the hearers. And honestly, this is a clear judgment on the unrepentant or the unsaved. The Apostle Paul also held the same position that the Lord Jesus is teaching here. If you read Acts chapter 28, verses 25 to 27, Acts 28, 25 to 27, where the Apostle Paul then also quotes from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 to verse 10. You see, a spiritual blindness of anyone is to be ascribed to that person's depravity. Yeah. People are depraved. They are spiritually blind. as it was then, so now. You see, many reject the message of Christ of repentance and faith, which is the only way of salvation. You see, the clearer the message is proclaimed to them, the stiffer and more blatantly do they reject it, and it becomes more and more offensive to them. Have you noticed that? You see, even I can use my own example in my ministry. There are people I have preached the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, for some of them, many years they've listened to the truth of God's word. And I trust that as I've been preaching what I used to preach 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, I hope today I'm at least a little more clearer, bringing God's word much more closer, much more meaningfully. But to date, there are those people who listened then, listened years that have followed. They listen today also. Sadly, they have still rejected. They have not received the message of the gospel of the kingdom. And I fear to say that it is becoming more and more offensive to them. And you know what? The sovereign Lord consigns them into such a position that is frightening. Think of that passage in Romans chapter 1, where after the Lord, the Apostle Paul says that God's wrath is revealed against all ungodliness. Because what can be known about God has been demonstrated, has been made clear to them. But they have chosen to live as though there's no God, and to live in terrible ways, abandoning themselves in the ways of sin. And you know what? The passage goes on to say this. God gave them up. God gave them up. God gave them up. You see, Isaiah preached clearly, but the people of his day, the people of Judah, stiffened their necks, hardened their hearts against him. And you know what? God's purpose was fulfilled. You see, those who believed were saved, but those who rejected were then condemned. God gives people up when they choose to refuse the message of the kingdom. And so, as we look at the fact that the parables present the gospel, we have seen then, number one, as we think of the past, that the parables fulfill prophecy. In the second place, and that is the present. The present. Parables bless lives. Parables bless lives. Well, what do we mean? It's just this. You see, even though the message of the kingdom had been rejected, you know, in the past by Isaiah's generation, and indeed in the present by the Pharisees and their followers, they rejected the gospel. You know, it's very easy to say, oh, the gospel has lost its power. And by the way, there are those who are claiming and teaching that the Jewish people rejected the Lord Jesus. And so it's like he stands back with his hands held back and wondering what can he do because he has been rejected. This is a very false doctrine, very false teaching. Jesus and his message has not been forsaken. No. The message of the kingdom is still effective, still powerful, for the purpose for which it was set forth. Of course, those who it wasn't for have rejected it. But it remains powerful. Let's see. Look with me at verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. In other words, the Lord Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, listen, my disciples, your eyes have been opened not by yourselves. This is not a self-made-up activity. No, it's been opened by the Holy Spirit so that you are able to see God's glory in my person, the Lord Jesus. When he taught them, when the Lord Jesus Christ taught them, they heard and received the very mind of God. And so they desired God more and more. That's why they stuck with Jesus. They wanted more and more. You remember Peter saying, Lord, if we leave you, where shall we go? You have the words of life. You see, so when Jesus' enemies saw only evil, and associated him with the working, or that he was working in league with Satan, these disciples had their eyes and ears opened. They were blessed. Blessed to see and hear the things of the kingdom. Honestly, they were blessed in their lives. And so that was happening currently in their lives. So remember, in the past, those who were rejecting only fulfilled the scriptures. The Lord Jesus exposed to them the hardness of their hearts. And present, the Lord Jesus, by his parables, then blesses these people, the disciples. And so they are able to receive the kingdom. But you know what? There is also something of the future in this passage. Something of the future in this passage. Now, we call it the future, but you see, when you look at verse 17, and as we look at verse 17, the parables bring in a new era. The parables bring in a new era. Therefore, the parables were looking forward to the future. Something new, if you like. Verse 17. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. You see, Jesus' disciples have a unique privilege. They have something here that God's people of old never got. You see, Jesus and his parables, someone has said, are the hinge of history, like the hinge of the door, where the door turns, swings to open or close or shut. Jesus and his parables, someone has said, are like the hinge of history. Well, not just like, they're the hinge of history. You see, the Old Testament prophets, they prophesied, yes, of the coming Messiah. But they were still not clear in their minds. Things were not sorted out in their minds. They were led, yes, by the Holy Spirit. But so much was not clear for them, not revealed in clarity. No. You see, they saw the shadow, but the substance was yet to come. Children in class, playing a lot with each other, making noise. But then what happens? They see a shadow pass through the window. And even though they have not seen the teacher come, but just because they saw the shadow, they know the teacher is coming. And of course, they turn to be quiet. And then, within a moment of time, through the door, and the teacher walks in. So you see, the disciples, or the prophets of old, they handle what we would call the shadow. But the substance, the real person, was yet to come. Now, listen to this. The disciples saw the substance. They saw the real thing, if we might put it that way. The substance in the person of Jesus. And they knew him to be the Messiah. Something which was not yet the case in the Old Testament. Now the disciples see him, they recognize him to be the Messiah. And of course they follow him, they stick with him, through thick and thin. You see, the parables were God's unique way to reveal Jesus as his son. Do you see how blessed these disciples were? This was a new beginning. Salvation could now go to all nations. The Messiah has come. It was something which could not be the case previously, but it was now a look into the future that has arrived through these parables. You see, so parables are unique. Parables have a special place. We cannot ignore parables and understand the work of the Lord Jesus. And so the disciples were blessed. But as I finish, I want us to see this by way of application, and as I conclude, surely, think of it this way. Note that our privileges are even greater still than that of the disciples. When we think of parables, we honestly see that our privileges are higher, greater than that of the disciples. You see, during the time of the disciples, Christ had not died, so he had to die. He had to rise again. The Holy Spirit was yet to be poured out upon the church in his fullness. Those things had not happened yet. But now, these things are a reality, my friend. These things are a reality. And so I just want to press home some questions here. Should we follow the Savior less? With all these privileges we have, more than, many times more than the disciples, should we surely follow the Savior less? Should we serve Him half-heartedly, surely? You answer that question, or those questions. Really, should it not concern us that many around us who have heard the message repeatedly still reject the Messiah when He's been revealed beyond measure? And yet they continue to reject Him. What are we doing? What are we doing? Surely should we not go after them with our prayers, fervent prayers, and everything else we can? If we could, we would hold them by the neck and shake them and say, believe, believe. But surely, we can pray. We can befriend them. We can persuade them that they may not reject the Messiah. Because to reject the Messiah is honestly to reveal that the condemnation is rightly upon them. These are serious questions for us. In the second place, these parables are still a clear call to salvation. They are still a clear call to salvation, a clear invitation to salvation. Would you therefore not hear God's loving and tender voice through the parables? That you'd receive, that you'd believe His Son and be saved. Would you not? Listen. Must God shout in your ears through the language of COVID-19 or some other calamities, when God is speaking through the parables, stories that we can relate with, yet having heavenly meaning? Would you reject that? So I say again, must God speak in the language of COVID-19 for you to hear? Think about that and answer that question. Finally, parables, dear friends, parables are simple and gracious means through which Jesus calls you today. And you know what? He says, hear me and you will live. Search for me and you will find me. In other words, He is allowing Himself to be found through the parables. Will you search for Him today, therefore? His parables reveal Him as the Savior you need today. Amen.